I went to the hospital to see if they could do anything, and I had some medicine and eventually it went away. I got lots of blood tests, examined and everything, and they said, you've caught a virus, which, you know, whatever that, you know, I must have caught it from Italy, I can only assume. And I came, they said that there's probably 1 in 2,000 chance that this could in the future affect one of your organs. But I mean, you know, I was only 18, so I was like, okay, I'm fine now. Oh, I went back to London. Then when I was in London, because I was teaching horse riding, and I really wanted to go and work in Camp America. That was one of the things I really wanted to do. So I applied and I got a place in Maine to teach riding. And it's usual, you know, when you're young, you forget to do half your paperwork. And I left the medical till quite late in the day. And I had noticed that when I was going to the toilet, my wee was pretty dark. But I didn't think anything about it because carefree and easy. And I went for medical and I failed the medical. And I was a bit taken aback. What's going on? Well, kidneys are looking like they're failing. Your kidneys are failing. And I was like, oh, right. Can I still go to America? Because I'm going for just the summer. I don't think that will be a good idea. So that was probably a turning point in your life where you come to go and you think you're going one way, but you go another way, the way you didn't expect to be going. So that was all put on hold. I came back from London and I was I was seeing my local GP, who put me on to a consultant at a local, small local hospital. And I think in his wisdom, he thought he could stop my kidneys from failing. But what he did was he tried something that was not something that you would practice, and he put me on an extremely high dosage of steroids. A dosage that I found out a friend of mine who had cancer was on that dosage, but she was on the dosage off, on, off. And I was on something for 6 months. I had this doctor's home phone number, which, thinking back, that's a bit funny, but never mind. Seems to, you know, care, seemed quite a nice man and everything. And you think, oh, a doctor knows everything. Follow the doctor's instructions. And then I started to, I was sliding in the bath and I thought, oh, my skin was starting to stretch. All of the skin was starting to stretch and I was getting bigger. And I really did not feel very well. And as the months went on, you know, backwards and forwards, you know, I'm getting, oh, well, that's to be expected. You know, all right. And I really don't feel very well. You know, that's to be expected, get going back. And then as the months were going on, I was getting bigger and bigger, and my neck was getting bigger, my face was like a balloon. You couldn't, even when I bumped into an old school friend, she didn't know who I was so big. My legs were big, and I was just, because I was getting bigger and bigger, the skin was stretching, and I've got lots of stretch marks because of just getting bigger and bigger. And then I started at times to lose consciousness, and my hair was falling out at the back. And so at this point, I'm 19 at this point, about 19, 20. And losing the taste in my mouth, couldn't taste, and I would just suck on ice. And then I was like in and out of, didn't really know where I was. So my mum rang the hospital and I was rushed in, and it was like what you probably describe like ER, you know, when people are rushing around, blood transfusion. And then all of a sudden, I get transferred to the proper renal unit at the Royal Victoria Newcastle, and to get proper, obviously, when they saw me, they just weaned me off the steroids. I had to be weaned off slowly but surely to get me back. Just moving forward 6 years, but that I was watching the news, and this doctor was on. He had been reported. He'd been suspended for practices. So I actually went into the Northern Regional Health Authority and gave a statement, and you know, about what had happened to me. And I was told by a nurse who worked there, he was then trained to be a doctor, I bumped into her, he had actually killed another patient. So luckily I had been able to move on. So I was weaned off the steroids, and then, and basically, you know, full of scars. And then I had to go and have some plastic surgery to the scars, which wasn't really done that well because it's still there, but they cut off. My upper arm, you would hang much more than what it actually does now. And that was all cut. It was actually hanging more and it was all cut. And that's on both arms. I had liposuction on my knees and all the top of my legs, that it's all stretch marks where it's all gone fat. So that was just, that probably is probably one of the worst experiences. And this is before I'd even got to the point where the kidneys were ready to go on for dialysis. He had not stopped them from failing. He hadn't done anything that made me extremely poorly and probably, you know, in my opinion, nearly, you know, destroyed me really. So I now felt, great, you know, I'm in safe hands. Whatever happens now, it can't be any worse than what I've just been through. I'm in safe hands. So, as I said, I was weaned off the steroids, and then I had to go on dialysis. I waited till it was coming up to the Christmas in 1989, and then they waited and said, oh, you know, we'll not put you on dialysis till after the New Year. We'll give you the chance to have the Christmas. So I had lots of drugs to keep me going. I didn't feel too bad, you know, considering. And then in the January of 1990, I was then put onto dialysis. There's two types of dialysis. One's called CAPD and one's the hemodialysis. Hemodialysis, where you'd see people at hospital on the machine where it cleans all of the blood, and the other dialysis, CAPD, is something you do at home. And I'll just describe it in my own terms, not medical terms, but it's a case of a tube was put into my side and a special fluid is drained into my stomach that does the work of the kidney, and you keep that fluid in your stomach for 5 to 6 hours, and then you have to drain the fluid out again and then drain some new fluid in. And so you were doing the work of the kidney. You could do this at home quite nicely, and it took me 30 minutes from start to finish. As I always remember, of an evening, I used to watch Neighbours from start to finish, and that I knew that was my dialysis, that was done. Neighbours, that was done. They were in the good times when Neighbours was good. And I had to do that 3 times a day. I actually still work full time. I used to work about 10, 15 minute drive away from home. So I was able to do it first thing in the morning, come back after work, you know, finish at 5, straight back, you know, dialysise while Neighbours was on, and then wait as long as I could before I was too tired, then I would dialysise again before I went to bed. I mean, living on dialysis itself, it's quite a binding. It's not so easy just to go off and stay at your friends for a weekend or go a weekend, because you've got to take all of your equipment. You know, you've got all your bags full of your fluid. You have all your cleaning stuff. You have all your tubes. And it was imperative that you were kept, everything had to be kept clean. And I was lucky because when I lived at home, I had my own bathroom, and my mother is so house proud, you could probably eat off the toilet, just so house proud. She kept everything clean, and I was lucky, and I didn't actually ever catch her, you know, an infection, because she did look after me. And I think it was easier for me to go through at this point because I was young, but I was at home with my parents who could make sure, you know, everything was, I was okay. I didn't have any other worries to think about. So the things that changed, there were slight diet things. Things like to cut down on was sort of potatoes, cheese, coffee, dairy products. So me and my mother got into a routine of things that I liked. So I used to have Cocoa Pops once a week, because I used to get the variety pack. So Cocoa Pops once a week, that was my chocolate. I had a cheese sandwich once a week. And then I started, instead of having yogurts, I used to have tinned pineapples. I remember those were my main changes, and I didn't really, that was just when I stopped really drinking coffee and I just had a few teas. So I didn't feel, my diet wasn't as hard to follow as some diets can be for people on dialysis, depending how poorly you are, depending on your condition. Some people have had to be so strict, but it wasn't as strict for me, and I managed, you know, having the help from my mother and family, making sure, you know, we sort of discussed things I could eat, and she would make sure I ate healthily and I ate well, really. I didn't lose any weight. I probably put any weight on. And the exercise, they were a bit concerned because at the time I had a pony and I wanted to still ride. I thought, there's no way I'm stopping doing anything. Literally, I'm not going to stop riding. I've been riding since I was 7. Not stopping that. I'm not stopping going to work. And I think, no, the dialysis is, I think the dialysis will fit around me. That's the way it's going to be. And he was a bit concerned because I had the tube put in and I had to have it all taped down to make sure it didn't catch on anything, you know, get caught or anything. And I still went riding and I still, you know, enjoyed it, and that was not going to stop me. I still looked after her. I still went to work. I still went out with friends. I still had a boyfriend, and it didn't really stop.